Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? There are some texts that when you look at them historically, that is, how they have impacted history, it ends up being quite a fascinating study. And today's story, the story of the rich man, is one of those. Throughout history, this text, these verses, have impacted people. When St. Anthony heard them the very first time, he sold everything that he had. He took care of his sister, and then he went out into the desert. St. Ambrose adjusted his church. St. Augustine was impacted by these passages and completely reread through things. These passages have had huge impact through history. In the 1300s, a huge fight erupted over something called apostolic poverty. This verse was one of the keys to understanding that. So what are we going to do with this verse? What are we going to do with this text? What are we going to do with this story? And the question that comes with it, what must I do? That is the question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The rich man approaches Jesus with that question. What must I do? And so we observe the text. We see all the things that are going on. And we see Jesus point him to the Ten Commandments, to the law of God. And certainly this man says, I get that. That's what I've done. I've done it already. To which Jesus then replies, to sell all that he has, feed the poor, and come follow him. Follow Jesus. So is that what we should do? Should we sell everything that we have? Should we go sell all that we have and feed the poor? Should we start opening up Lutheran monasteries just so that we can live in a state of poverty? That is the question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? There are some contextual questions about the text that will help give us a little bit of light and help us to understand some things. One of the biggest keys, in my opinion, to understanding this passage is understanding how ancient people viewed wealth, because it's not the same as it is today. In the ancient world, it was viewed that if you were wealthy, that meant God loved you. That was how you could tell how much God loved you, was by how wealthy you were. You see, if God loved you and if you were doing all things good and right, then he blessed your life. And as he blessed your life, wealth would naturally come. And so it is that if you were incredibly wealthy, that meant that you were living your life really, really well, that you were doing things really, really well, and that God really, 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 really loved you. Do you see how countercultural some of Jesus' words are as the rich man approaches him? But you see, that's not the only contextual issue that we have. The other contextual issue that we have is somewhat twofold. One is that in today's text, in today's gospel reading, we're missing the text that we actually had at the end of our lesson last week, and we're also missing the text that we're going to read next week. And to fully understand all the things that are going on here, you kind of need both parts. I love using a lectionary, and many of you have heard me say things like this before, but the reality is this is one of the flaws of a lectionary system. For those of you that do not know, a lectionary system determines which parts of biblical passages we read week to week, and we follow a lectionary. Now, we follow something known as the 3-year lectionary cycle. And so each year, they kind of have a different theme, usually gospel-centered. In this case, we're going through the Gospel of Mark. Next year, we will be going through the Gospel of Luke. And the year after that, we'll be going through the Gospel of Matthew. All of them have the Gospel of John sprinkled throughout. And so over the three-year span, we will go through most of the Gospel of John as well. And so that's what a lectionary cycle is. But sometimes when they cut the text, they cut it at an inopportune moment. And today is one of those cases. The text really starts with the disciples bringing children to Jesus. Or actually, I should say, rebuking the children. And Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, for you need to accept the kingdom of God as a little child." You need to receive the kingdom of God as a child. And then right after that story comes this rich man. This rich man that comes up to Jesus, our text for today. But then what's really interesting is what happens in our text that we're going to get next week. And the problem is now I can't preach on the gospel next week because I'm going to do it today. Now I have to preach on Hebrews. But next week, what we're going to see is we're going to see Jesus turn to the disciples, and the disciples are going to be absolutely astonished, and they're going to say, if he can't make it into heaven, how can anybody make it into heaven? And this is where the passage comes, that if a camel could go through the eye of a needle. We love that passage. It's one of our favorites. We think of a needle, and we think of a camel going through the eye of a needle. You see, once you understand some of that historical context, the whole disciples and their questioning and all the things that they're worried about, it makes more sense. Of course, they're amazed. Of course, they're amazed that this rich man wasn't good enough. Because in their eyes, doesn't God love him? He's wealthy. And doesn't God love and bless wealthy people? And so what Jesus says is that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. What he is not saying there is that if you are wealthy, good luck, which is a lot of times how we interpret that text. What he is saying is, yes, this man that you think is incredibly blessed by God and is incredibly religious, even he's not good enough. But then Jesus keeps going. And he says, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's the point of today's passage. That's the point of our story. That's the impact that it has on you and on me. With God, all things are possible. With God, we have salvation. Not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done for us. Like little children that can do no other, we receive the kingdom of God. Even us accepting it isn't even a work of ourselves, but a work of the Holy Spirit. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that we have faith, that we cling on to the gospel message, the message that Jesus Christ died for you, for your salvation, and for your sins. If you want to know what must I do, if it's all about you, if it's all about what work you have to complete, you must be perfect in every single way. With us, it's impossible. We're not perfect. We're sinners. But with God, all things are possible. Your salvation rests not of yourself, but in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is through his work that you have been reconciled with your heavenly Father, and it's through his work that your salvation is true. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds.